here on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Aleph, and we're up to Shalach Lei. Let's see if we can make a note. It's about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. You see where the lines get wider, it's the third of the wide lines. Shalach Lei Rami Bar Yechezkel Rav Amram Nema Lon Mar Mehalein Mile Malyasa Di Amrit Lon Mishmeder of Asi Bekipe Di Arba. So Rami Bar Yechezkel sends to Rav Amram and he says to him, please share with us some of the good words of Torah. Ma'al Yisra means on a very high level, Ma'ula, that you heard of the name of Rav Asi with regard to something called Kipe Di Arba. So let's take a moment to talk about Kipe Di Arba. And we're about to enter into a sugya called Ohel. Not Ohel in the case of a mess for Masech Olos, but rather Ohel in Hilchas Shabbos. And creating a new Ohel is a melacha of binyan, for which you be chayv achatos. And then there's something called Mosif al ha-Ohel, where you already have an Ohel, and you simply extend or add to the Ohel. And in that case, we have what's called Michse Kibone. We have a Darabonon, a Shvus Darabonon. Now we have another issue, whether it's an Ohel Keva or an Ohel Aroi. And both Mosif Ala Ohel and Ohel Aroi are two factors which are both makil, they're both leniencies. If we piggyback one on top of the other, and we have a case of being Mosif al Oel Aroi, then we could be Matir. So again, if you're creating an Oel from scratch, and it's an Oel Kavua, that's a violation of Leches Bone Deoraisa. That would be prohibited even in the Mishkan, in the Migdash, because we're not dealing with Shvusim. If on the other extreme you have a case of an Ohel Aroi and you're just being Mosif Le'ohel, that's Mutter even B'Medina. The Nafkamina is going to be between Migdash and Medina in the middle case, which is Gzeira Shvus, and that's called Mosif Al Ohel Aroi. Now we have the case of Kipe Di Arba. They had, let's say, small boats, Sfinos, and what they did was, this is a two-stage process. First, they created kipe, right? Kipe is always indicative of a circular shape, and they had circle after circle of metal wires. Right, so one metal wire, one metal wire, one. We're going to discuss the distance between each wire. And on top, this is stage number two, they would put machzalot, meaning mats on top. Now the issue is going to be, if you're allowed to put these machzalot on top of the kipeh on Shabbos, is that considered creating an ohel? The Gemara is going to have another case a little bit later on, which we'll see about a canopy, where you have two boards of wood that meet like a teepee on top, and the question is whether you're allowed to attach them or put a machzeles on top of them because they're open on all sides. And all these cases come under the issue of creating an ohel. Is he creating an ohel? So we have the following. I'll just read to you the background to this sugya, a sort of an introduction that I have in the Hebrew version. He says, "Hoyadarkom linots motos rabim bedofne asvina." So motos are these, so to speak, round poles, right? Round poles in a semicircle shape. And they were attached on both sides to the Dofnei Asfina, right? The outer wood of the boat. And each one of these round hoops, if you want to call it that, or half hoops, were a chatzi ama distance one from the other. And it really covered the entire boat. And it was almost like a rainbow over the boat. And at one end, Rosh HaMa'echad Kavua B'dofen Shel Svina, Rosh HaMa'sheinu B'dofen Shel Kenegdo. Fine. And then Parsim Aleh Machtzalos Lahatzil Mipnei Achama Ulohagen Mipnei Atzina V'Agshom. Right, so you didn't want to travel in a boat that's absolutely open, exposed to the elements. So if it was, for example, hot, or if it was very cold and rainy, you put out the Machtzalos on top of these kippi. Ishalach Le Hachi Omar. So again, we're waiting for a response of Rav Amram here, in which Rav Amram will tell us what he heard. Mili Ma'al Yisa Mishmeid Rav Asi. So Rav Amram was the one who transmitted the Torah of Rav Asi. And Omar Hachi Omar Rav Asi Hani Kipe Di Arba Bizman She Yesh Bem Tefach. Inami ein beim tefach, but ein bein zela ze shlosha tefachim is lemachar maybe machzelas uporis aleh. So Rav Asi is now being quoted as saying that you're allowed to place the machzelos on top of the kippi, and there's no violation of aleches. Asiyas Ohel, if one of the following two conditions are met. Either the motos themselves are very thin, they're less than a tefach, so that even, let's say, you're talking about creating an Ohel, well, an OL is a strip of let's call it leather or whatever it is, that covers an area that has the width of a tefach. Now, you're covering over the kippah, these motos, as we call them in Hebrew. Well, the motos themselves, in the first possibility, have less than a width of a tefach. So again, you can imagine, you know, different kinds of manufactured motos in the case of a sfina. You could have motos that are, in a sense, I would call them, if I could use this word, strips of metal that go around, and they could have the width of a tefach. Or you can have simply like almost like threads, you know, they're very thin. Probably the first case of straps will be able to hold up the machzalos in a more secure way. But be that as it may, assuming that these motos are a tefach wide, then you've got a serious problem here of creating an ohel, because once you have the shear of a tefach on top of the ohel, it becomes an ohel. But yet, if you read the Gemara carefully, let's go backwards, and we'll get back to Yesh Bahem Tefach in a second. Inami, Ein Bahem Tefach, Vi Ein Bein Zela Zesh Losha Tefachim, Is Lamachar Mevi Machzel Supare Saleh. So it seems that what Rav Asi is trying to accomplish here is he wants to see it as sasum. Right? How does he achieve, again, I'm going backwards. How does he achieve, in the case of Ein Bayam Tefach, the Ein Bein Zela Zesh Shlosha Tefachim, how does he achieve his goal that it's already Sosum? Meaning that he's not creating a new Ohel because there's already a pre-existing Ohel even before he puts the Machzelis on it. And he achieves this by one of two methods, starting backwards. In the second method, then one mot is 2.9 tfachim distant from another mot. So the distance between one mot and the other is less than 3 tfachim. And that gives me the halacha of kisasum. That's lavud. So if it's lavud and it's mechubarim and it's sasum, then he already has a tefach even before he puts the machzelis on, which means there's already a pre-existing Ohel. Now again, you could ask, what about the Iser Derabanan, the Shvus, of being Mosif Allah Ohel? And we're going to assume that this is Aroi, because he only puts the machzelis when the need arises, if it gets very hot, or if it's raining, or it gets very cold. And the first option that he mentions is that the motos themselves have a width of a tefach. If the motos themselves have a width of a tefach, I don't care how distant one of the motos is from the next one. It doesn't matter. He already has an ohel because the motos are covering the sfina by a and more than a minimum shear of a tefach. So there already is an ohel of a tefach that covers this sfina. And the real issue here in the commentaries is that it doesn't seem to make sense that we could apply lavud here. Why? Because in the case of motos, right, the second case, Ein Bayam Tefach, let's assume that the motos are very thin. So if you want to get Sosum by applying Lavud, you have to apply it straight through all the motos that are covering, you know, the side, that are hovering, rounded over the sides of the Sfina. And we have a principle that we don't apply Lavud from two sides. Lavud allows you to attach A to B, but not if you have to attach A to Z, you know, that came before it, or in addition, A to B, etc., etc. And this is what the Mefarshim have problems with, because if you would have told me, let's say, that each mot in the second possibility is a half a tefach, and the distance between them is 2.9 tefachim, so you could say it's sasum b'makom echad, and now you have a stima which in itself is going to create a tefach. But let's say, for argument's sake, the motos are very, very thin in this second possibility. It says Ein Bayam Tefach. We don't know what, you know, what minimum shear it has to have. Presumably it could be very thin. Then you can have love with Mishnei Tzadim. And he says in the footnote, and he's quoting the Rashba, and he says, V'af im haya lovud rak mimakom echad. He says, that wouldn't do it. He says, we need lavud mishnei tzadim. He says, nechshav makom ha-lavud ka-oel ha-osu mi-bod yom, u-mutu la-hosif olav l-fros yirios al-kol ha-sfino. Again, this is a breakthrough in the laws of lavud, but he says that there's a difference between applying lavud mi-bod yom and lavud on Shabbos itself. And here, since the motos were already set up before Shabbos, then we can postulate a theory of and apply the principle of lavud even mishnei tzadim. My timer. So now the Gemara wants to understand the logic of Rav Asi. Why is there no iser in those two scenarios? Either, as we'll go over them one more time, the motos are one tefach thick, or alternatively, even if they're not thick, but the distance between the motos is less than three tefachim? And the answer is because it's Mosif al Oel Aroihu and Shapir Domi. We're going to have a fulfillment of both conditions that are necessary to be matir in the case of Oel. One condition is it's got to be an Oel Aroi. And as we said before, they cover the motos with the various mats, these machzalos, on a temporary basis. They open them, they close them. You know, you can imagine rowboating on a lake on a beautiful, you know, spring day, you know, and you want to, you know, you want to go in your open top convertible, right? So you don't. And number two, he's already being Mosif on an oel that was created. He's not creating a brand new oel. And the reason for that is because he already has a tefach's worth of an oel before he adds the machzalos. And since he's adding the machzalos ba'ofen aroi on a temporary basis, is then he's allowed to do so. So he writes here in the footnote that the sheer oel is a tefach, hein legabi Shabbos, vehein legabi Sukkah, vehein legabi Tumas oel. So he says that the definition and the shear of oil is relevant in three different areas. Number one, we have our sugi here in Masechet Shabbos, and the question is whether or not you already have a pre-existing oil before you added something on top. Two, legabi sukkah, we have a sugya in Masechet Sukkah daf yutes amid beis, and that's called the sukkah suya kitzrif, and irchika min akosel tefach. And then finally, you have Tumas Oel in the case of a corpse, and if anything is inside the Oel at the same time as the corpse, it contracts Tumah. And now, we add a very important comment from, there's a Shituf Pula here, a partnership of the Nodav Yehuda and the Prima Gadim. And they say, Rak hosofal ol aroi muteres. Aval hosofal oel kavua asura. If you already have an oel kavua, then you're not allowed to add even a tosefes arois. So in other words, when we say that the two factors combine to be matir, number one, it's an oel aroi, and number two, it's a Tosefes ala Oel. The Oel itself has to be Aroi. But if the Oel itself is Kavua, I don't care what you're adding and if your intention is to add something Ba'ofen Aroi or not. It's irrelevant. It's Asur Mishum Gzera because you already have an Oel Kavua. And once you're adding to an oel kavua, even though the oel is pre-existing before Shabbos, nevertheless, you violate a Shavus Rabbanon. So when we say that we need not just a Mosif ala oel to be matir, but we also need that it's aroi, we're not talking about the Tosefes, we're talking about the oel itself. And therefore he says, Tam sheitira hagmara kan lifros tosefes al kipe di arva afal gavda motos atzman kvuim hen. How do you fulfill that second condition of oel aroi? We're talking about an oel kavua. He's not going to take apart the motos. The motos are there to stay. And he says that the defanos of the svino kvuos viomdos. He says that the attachment between the motos and the dofnei asfina are kvuos viomdos. And he writes, ubeprisas hayirios eno ose shum mechitza elagad bilvat. Okay. Now again, we're getting into some really complicated issues, but I'll try the best I can. You know, for this you really have to know more about Olos. But he has two situations, two scenarios. He has a case where he's creating something vertical, as opposed to our case where he's creating something horizontal. And he says the following, that prisas hayirios, or prisas hamachtzelos, that's called gag. If, on the other hand, he would add something to an ohel on Shabbos on the side of the ohel, going from bottom to top, that's already called asiyas mechitza. And even if that addition is only temporary, since the ohel itself is kavua, then it's awesome. It's a mosif al ohel kavua because the ohel itself is kavua. But, says the Note Viewer, that's only in a case where he's adding a mechitza that goes from top to bottom, or bottom to top. But in a case where he's adding a gag, that already has a halacha of aroi in the Tosefes. That you don't need aroi in the oil itself, the oil that was created before Shabbos. All you need, it's sufficient, if you have aroi in the Tosefes. So the Note Viewer says that although the general rule is that in order for something to be considered a Tosefes Aroi, it's necessary that the Ol itself be Aroi. If the Ol itself is Aroi, then the Tosefes is Asur, even though it's Aroi, because the Ol itself is Aroi. I'm sorry, because the Ol itself is Kavua. And the fact that you're being Mosif Al Ol is not a fulfillment of two conditions. It only checks off one of the conditions. We need a Tosefes Aroi, and says the Note Viewer that you need a Tosefes Aroi in the oil itself. Says the Note Viewer that from our sugi we learn that that requirement, that the oil itself be Aroi, in order for it to qualify as a Tosefes Aroi, on a pre-existing oil, that only applies in the case of a mechitza that's being added to an oil. And now we have to ask ourselves, when the mechitza now becomes, shall I say, integrated into the oil, what is the status of that oil? He may have in mind that he's going to add the mechitza today and take it off tomorrow and detach it tomorrow. That's irrelevant. Because the moment that he attaches it to an oil, if that oil is kavua, the mechitza becomes a tosefes kavua, not a tosefes aroi. But if, on the other hand, you're dealing with a gag, that's a different story. Then, if the gag is a tosefes arois, even if the oil itself, in this case the motos, are keva, then, since he's only being mosif, and the tosefes is aroi, then it's mut. Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Okay, now we get on to different cases of adding curtains and the like on Shabbos to an oil. And we're again looking for heterim. It's interesting, this whole sugya has an agenda to look for cases where it's mutter to do on Shabbos what looks like creating an oil or adding to an oil, but it's not. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Vilon Mutal in Toso, Umutal Lefarko B'Shabbos. In other words, what he's saying is the following, that when we talk about the Issa D'Rabbanan of creating an oil aroi, we're talking about a case where he creates an oil aroi by adding a covering over the oil. And that's called prisa milamala. So that's what's asur on Shabbos. But now he has a case of a vilon. And what's this case of a vilon? The vilon, he says, is some sort of a curtain that surrounds the oil. It doesn't cover the oil. It's not called pores milamala. And that's not called, or doesn't qualify, if you will, as asiyas ol aroi. So adding these vilonos, I call them curtains, and you want to attach them, let's say they had loops, and you want to, if I can give an example of loops, I think in my mind, I don't know if this helps anybody, of a shower curtain. You remember those shower curtains where you have a bar that goes this way, and then you have rings, and you attach the curtain at every level to these rings. So that's called lintoso. Lintoso means litloso. And you put them on these various hooks. And lefarko means to take it apart. So this is Rav Chiya's breakthrough, that he says that the Isur D'Rabbanan of Asiyas Ol Aroi only applies to the case of pores milamala, but not to the case of curtains that are added to the side of a pre-existing ohel. Okay. Now we get to the case of kilas chasonim. This is a canopy that they used to make for the bride and groom, for the chas and kala. And there are a number of different parts or elements that go into this kila. Number one, we have a point, which is, let's say, if you draw a line vertically from the middle of the bed all the way up, you reach that pinnacle. And from that pinnacle, which is on the height level, but it's in the middle of the bed, your pores, you have curtains that go on the sides. So he says here, Yuria Hamishupas Vioredes Mial Emtza Hamita El Shnei Tzideha Uparso Lekisu Yalgabi Mitas Chasonin. So the Mita is the framework in which you sleep. And on top of that, on both sides, your pores urios that come to a spitz, which would be keneged, corresponding to the middle of the bed. And in most cases, these urios hit, you know, at a, I don't know what you'd call it, let's call it a 90 degree angle, but you get my point. They mamish come together like the top of a teepee, and there's no tefach of a gag. So an ol is something that looks a little different than a kilas chasonim, than this canopy or this this kind of a teepee kind of a bed, if you know what I mean. I don't know if that. Anyway, so in the case of kilas chasonim, because there's no gag, like a normal ol has a roof on it. And the minimum size of the roof, as we said before, is got to be a tefach, is therefore mutar lefarkel in Tosaf Shabbos. Here's another case where we're allowed to put it together and take it apart on Shabbos. And why? Because he's not creating an oil at all. There's not even a tefach's worth of a gag that would make it, that would qualify it as an oil. Now, let's just ask ourselves the following question. When he adds this, when he's pores on the two sides of the canopy over the bed, are we talking about a case where he's doing it be ofen aroy? Or is it keva? Let me just backtrack for a moment. In the previous Gemara of Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, we had the case of a vilon, and he wanted to add the vilon by hanging it up on these loops. And Rabbi Chiya says it's mutter because it's not ke'en gag. But we always said that that which is mutter, right, has to have another condition. It's got to be aroi. So I can understand Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, maybe that's a case of aroi perhaps. And therefore, if he's putting this aroi on the side, so that's not, just 1 second, so what did we say before, since it's not a poris milamala, just give me 1 second, I apologize, I got myself a little bit confused here. Again, in the case of the vilon, we said that only in a case where he's creating a gag, then we could say that he's creating an even though the ol is aroi. Oh, okay. So I'm almost ready for you. I just want to make. So in the case of the vilon, we said that it's an ol aroi, and he's not being porosit milamala. So if we have those two conditions, that he's adding to an oil aroi, and he's not doing so milamala, then it's mutul chatchila. Do I have that down straight? If it wasn't cholamoid, I would write this down for myself, but you're probably allowed to write it down, but let me just think. If, again, it's an oil aroi, and he's not being poreis, just give me a second, I'm sorry, my brain is not. If in the case of the vilon, what do we have? We have, let's say he's being mosif to an ol aroi, but we said, that the isur d'rabbanan being mosif to an ol aroi only applies if he's mosif on the poreis milamala on the gak, which is not true in the case of a vilon. So now, I just want to shlug myself up here, because what do we do with kilas chasanim? In the case of kilas chasanim, let's assume that he's being mosif, right? He's being mosif to an ol aroi, but he's doing so milamala. Right, he's being poreis milamala. This is not like the previous case of Reb Chiya. So then we're going to say that there's no tefach. So now we could say the following. I'm about to pass the baton over to you, Rabbi. I just want to just make sure I understand. The way I understand is the following. We have two heterim here. One heter was that of Reb Chiya in the case of vilon. Now we have a heter in the case of kilas chasanim. In both cases, l'chora, we would say he's being mosif on an ol aroi. And if that be the case, then we could be matir mimonafshach, right? Because we have two conditions. Number one, the ol pre-existed. And number two, we have an ol aroi. But if we're going to assume that he didn't have a pre-existing ohel, then we're in trouble, because then he's creating an ohel aroi on Shabbos, and that we don't allow. We don't allow you to create an ohel aroi on Shabbos. So there are two different answers to the two different cases. In the case of let's start with kilas chasanim, that's the easier case. There, since there's no tefach on the top, so then it's not an oil at all. So what are you going to tell me, that he's being mosif to an oil aroi? Or maybe you're going to tell me he's creating an oil aroi. You see, the problem is, we don't have, in the case of kilas chasanim, the same heter that we had in the previous case of the vilon, because we're lacking what's called eno poris milamala. In the case of the vilon, he's not poris milamala. In the case of the canopy, he is being poris milamala. So I have to introduce another element into the equation, and that is that we don't have a gag of a tefach. And if we don't have a gag of a tefach, then we can be matir for a much more fundamental reason, and that is because we don't have an oil. In the case of the vilon, it has a gag of a tefach, and therefore we have to come up with another explanation as to why Reb Chiya was matir the case of the vilon, given the fact that it's an ol aroy. And if it's an ol aroy and it has a gag of a tefach, how could we allow him to be mosif to an ol aroy? We're not going to allow him to be mosif to an ol aroy. And more than that, I'm not even sure if it's just mosif to an ol aroy. Again, you know, that's Reb Chiya's conclusion, obviously, that he's being mosif to an ol aroy, and therefore it's mutter. But one could argue that in the case of the vilon, he doesn't even have an oil without this vilon. The vilon itself creates the oil. So he's creating an ol aroy, which is certainly also on Shabbos. So here's where we're going to introduce a different element in the equation. Not the absence of a full tefach of a gag, but rather the fact that he's not being pores milamala on top of the gag. That's what I think is the answer. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rabbi. I just had to sort of clarify it in my own
brain. I think you're complicating. Vilon, by definition, is not bechlal, is not an ovel. A vilon is a vertical type of thing. It's a bit of machitza. I think Rashi says that. Where's Rashi?
Okay, let's take a look and see if we can find Rashi. The trouble is that this
soul. Let's talk about a pesach. Something to cover. It's a vilon. It's a covering of a pesach. It's a vertical thing. There is no din whatsoever about an ohel. By a kilas kastani, you're making an ohel. However, by definition, because there is no tefach, it isn't an ohel.
Right.
So both are mutter. One, because it's not an ohel bechlal. The other is because, by definition, it's not an ohel. So both are mutter legamrei.
So I'm just trying to get a picture of what Reb Chiya's case might look like. Let me just see if by chance he has some. I'm using, you know, the Hebrew translation. I just want to see if he adds anything for a minute here, because I don't have a clear picture of what this vilon case is. Maybe by chance. Here, Rav says the name of Chiya. A curtain may be hung and may be taken down on the shelf. Right. 20. Oh, he says the following. Maybe this will help us. The curtain serves as a screen in an entranceway. Whoa. That leaves me a little bit wanting over here, because if he's adding a screen in an entranceway, I mean, that sounds like he's got an old kavua. So he writes the following. Since it does not remain permanently in position, it is a temporary addition to an existing structure, and therefore it is permitted. He's saying that he's not creating an oil. I think that's what he's saying here in this footnote. He calls it an addition to an existing structure. I put two words together. He calls it an entranceway and he calls it a structure. So I think he's saying that he's actually being mosif to an ohel, but he's only being mosif be ofen aroy. So it's not the same as what I said before, that it's the way I have it in the Hebrew translation. He says that ein iser derabanan be ol aroy elik shepores milamala. He's talking about something else. He's not talking about being poris lamal. He's just saying it's temporary.
It's a screen. It's not an ohel bechlal. He's talking about a screen in front of a door.
Right. So what is he? He says he's saying here. I'm just telling you. He's interpreting Rashi. I'm just trying to be loyal to what he says over here for a moment. He says that the whole reason it's mutter here, even though he's adding to an existing structure, is because it's only also to add to an addition to an existing structure if he intends it on a permanent basis. But here, he only intends to put the screen in the entranceway on a temporary basis, and therefore it's mosif li'ol aroi. It's because you have a mosif and you have an aroi, and that's the two conditions. But that's not the way I have it here. The way we have it here is he's saying that the entire emphasis here is not on the aroi part, but on the fact that it's a vilon. And he says a vilon is not considered pores milamala. I mean, according to his interpretation, in the English translation, it has nothing to do with the fact that he's pores milamala, or he's not pores milamala. That's not the key factor. I mean, the element here that is critical is what is his intention? Does he want it on a permanent basis? Is he adding these vilonot permanently, or only on a temporary basis? He intends to take out the vilonot. And, you know, he has those hooks, and he puts them on, he takes them off, as we said before. That's what gives Rabbi Chiya the basis for being matir. I thought that in the Hebrew translation, he's talking about the fact that the vilonot are not on top, but rather on the side. I mean, that distinction is totally different than what he's saying. He's putting all the emphasis on whether it's temporary or permanent, whereas he's putting all the emphasis on whether it's on top or on the sides. Now, he has a long footnote on this, but I would need an extra hour to go through this footnote. I'll just read to you again just the tip of the iceberg here. He has what?
That's Steinzel says very simply. A different interpretation. Let me find it.
He has a third mahal.
She'eino ohel. Elakir bilvad. Ve'ein eino kavua. Ve'chesmus mokam echad. Ein bo isur. It's not a din of ohel at all.
And then he's adding the fact that it's only temporary. It sounds like he's grabbing the rope from both ends. You know, I thought that the heter.
That's bona. If he does it for tznius, as Rashi says, or for some other reason, it's a screen, and you're allowed to put up the screen on machitza on Shabbos. There's no problem. And that's completely different from Kilas Kastonim, where there's a possible Hava meter to say that it's an Ohel.
Right.
Because it looks like an Ohel. Except by definition, there's no Tefach, so it can't be an Ohel.
I'm just going to read to you what I have here. He says, Shitas HaTosvis She B'mechitza. He's talking about Sukkah now for the Tosvis. Sha'al Yoda Miskasheres hasukkah, yesh baze isur asias oel, gam kshu nota oso minatzad, velorak begag. So if I understand correctly, again, this Tosus is elsewhere, it's not here on our page, he's saying that let's say you were to put this vilonos on Shabbos, and it's also Sukkos, and as a result of putting up these vilonos, he has now a kosher sukkah. Or he says that even in Shabbos, if let's say you needed these mechitzos, these vilonos, in order to be matir tiltul, is then yesh isra asiyas oel, gam im nota osa minatzad velogak bagag. And he says that it doesn't matter whether it's permanent or temporary in nature, since it's machshir the sukkah, or it's matir tiltul, means it has some sort of legal halachic recognition. Therefore, that's considered asiyas oel, even if A, it's minatzad and not milamala lagag, and B, it's only aroi. So this is fascinating. He says, rak kasher eno materes, if he's just doing it for whatever comfort or whatever need he has, but it's not going to be a machshir of a sukkah or matir tiltul on Shabbos, then mutal leparsa b'Shabbos be ofen aroi. Right? Then he's going to allow you to do it b'ofen aroi. Now, he adds the following. Hachumas hadeshen medayik miloshen rashi kan shevilon kavua kigon paroches aron kodesh osur lintoso b'Shabbos. And now again, the Trumas Hadeshen seems to be putting the emphasis on whether it's kavua or it's aroi. We were inclined to think, based on the original translation here, that the emphasis is on whether or not it's milamala or it's a dofen that he's being poreis on the side, as a dofen. And that same dofen, if it would have been a machshir, even though it's a roi, would be an iser of oel, but now he's not being matir anything, and therefore, if it's on the side, minatzad, that's not called in any sense adding or creating an oel, or it's not even restructuring the oel. The Trumas Hadeshen, on the other hand, is putting all the emphasis, the way he interprets Rashi, on whether or not he intends to take this vilon off. And therefore, in the case of the Aron Kodesh, where his intention is to leave that parochas on the Aron Kodesh, I'm not sure if he means our parochas, I don't know. I guess even our parochas is considered, we change it maybe a few times a year for the Moedim, I'm thinking of the shul here. But nevertheless, it's considered kavua. And therefore it's considered kavua, then it's asur, even though it's minatzad, even though it's a dofen, and it's not being matir anything, but we intend to leave it there on a permanent basis. All right, let's see. We don't have too much time. I just want to make a little bit of progress here in Kilas Chasanim. Omrav Sheshes, Bereder of Idi Lo Amaron. When do we say that you're allowed to take apart this and put together this kilas chasanim that does not have a gag of a tefach, elo shein begag a tefach, aval yesh begag a tefach, osur, because he's creating an oel. And again, it could be that it's an ol aroi, but he's creating a brand new ol aroi because he's allowing a tefach. And now Rav Shesh is further restricts this heter, and he limits it to a case, even if it doesn't have a gag tefach. What about the area on top of the canopy, which is called samuch legag, and we're going to take that point on the top, and we're going to go down three tefachim, and within that area of three tefachim samuch legag, there is no tefach, right? Keep in mind that as we go down, we are going, it's broadening and broadening until it finally covers the entire mita on the bottom. So he wants to make sure that there's no tefach anywhere in the top three tefachim. Aval yesh bepachos mishlosh, if within the top three tefachim, samuch legag, tefach, asur. Why? So again, he's quoting the Rishonim, he quotes the Miri, he says, Shal Yidei Lovud Nechshav HaShipua Shebesoch HaShlosh HaTfachim Ki'ilu Chelek Me'agag. You know, we attach this entire area which has a curtain around it and it's within three Tfachim as if it's part of the roof. So you now have a Gag that has the width of a Tefach and therefore he's creating an oil. Now he has a third restriction, a third limitation. V'chi ein b'pachos mishlosha samach l'gag tefach nami. Even in a case where in the first three tfachim, as we go down from the spitz, there's no tefach, nevertheless, I'm still not going to give you a carte blanche. Lo amoran elo. Sorry, kisha ein. Kisha ein b'shipu'a tefach. Al yesh b'shipu'a tefach. Is shipua olim ka olim domi? So he says that shipua is the kila b'amtzusa ad ktsei tzida echad rochav tefach. So it sounds like he's going to the bottom of the kila. In other words, until now we were on the top of the kila, and now we're b'shipua. And if b'shipua there's a tefach, he says rochav tach. Tith hakila, he says that the width of the bottom of the kila, mikotz al kotz shnei tefach, which means that if you divide that area right down in the middle, if you create a line that takes you from the middle of the mita all the way up, if you have a tefach on each side, because the rochav of the shipua is two tefachim, then you're not allowed to put on the canopy on Shabbos. Because shipuei oholim koholim domi. Rochav hanas al yidei shipuei oholim nechshav ko'el. Meaning if you have an area on the bottom that's now being covered, it's being tented, it's being roofed on top, if the area on the bottom itself has the width of a tefach, that means that although the gag doesn't have a tefach, but the area on the bottom that's covered by this urea is a tefach. That itself is called shipuei oholim, and that itself creates the status of an oil. So if b'shipua kila you have a tefach, then the pores, when you stretch out this curtain on top of it, you're creating an oil. Why? Because as a result of the oil, you have a shipua of a tefach. And now that tefach is covered by your oil. So even though you don't have a tefach in the gag, you have a tefach in the shipua, which means that in the rochav of the tachtis akila, you have a tefach, then that itself is considered creating an oil. So basically, according to, I forgot who it is, it's Rav Sheshes, we have three limitations to the heter of kilas chasan v'uto lefarkol in Tosav Shabbos. Number one, there's no gag tefach. Number two, there's no tefach in width in the first top three tefachim. And number three, there's no tefach that's being covered by this canopy on the bottom of the canopy. So even if the width of the canopy does not amount to tefach within the three tefachim in the apex on top, but permitting the bridal canopy does not apply unless there's no tefach underneath the slope of the canopy. So he says you take a horizontal distance between the foot of the slope and the top of the slope, and you must come up with less than a tefach. But if there's a tefach underneath its slope, then one is forbidden to hang it up and take it down on Shabbos. Why? Because shipua olim ke'olim domi. The sloping slides of canopies, if they overhang a tefach, are themselves regarded as canopies, i.e. they have the same status as the roof-like horizontal part on the top of the canopy, which was prohibited by the gzera. Now this actually is a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Lozman and Chachomim in Sukkah Yutes, And this sugya is a reflection of the Shitas Chachamim that slanting projections have the same status as horizontal ones. So in the outcome of this discussion, he says in the footnote, the canopy of a bridal bed may not be erected unless the bed is less than 3 tefachim wide, which means that the horizontal segment must be narrower than 1 tefach, and the two sloping sides must each overhang less than a tefach. Rashi notes that no bed is so narrow. So the Gemara seems to be assuming a reality that doesn't exist. Therefore, he proposes that the case under discussion is not of a bed which has only one canopy over it, but over a bed which has 2 or 3 smaller canopies, each one less than 3 tefachim wide. Okay, so you have here a little bit of a diagram of a bed that has 2 or 3 smaller canopies. And again, what we're saying is that each one of these canopies has a width that's less than three tefachim. So let me just read to you the note over here. He says, "Hiksha Rashi echi tochein lahamedes hamemra hamateres priestess kilas chasana bekila she'ein b'mechitzas rochav tefach da'inu she'ein b'kula rochav shnei tefachim halo nases li'ahil alamita v'ein mita she'rochova she'rochba rak shnei tefachim." V'tirates Rashi she'medubar be ofen she kama konim yotzim vi olim mi dofne amita berosho vimagulio seho miruchakim ktsas zemise kama konim again and echod govo vi echod nomuch liserigin vel kol shne motos she echod mehem berosh amita vasheni keneged magulioso amita Meiniach kone, uporis ala konim, hagvoim, yurios, shemeshafaos, viyordos, el hamot, hanomuch hasomuch lahem. Is kevin shebein kula mahilos al kol hamito, umisviv lamito pores yuria gdolo ledofe. But ze omra gmora, shekol shein keneged emtsa. I mean, emtsagago, and mokshofa yiria kula tefach mutal leforis and b'shabes. Kains akosva atoisus b'shabes. Hikshu atoris chayim im mesuchim me'alamito me'erf shabes kama motos v'ein boz bein zel ze shlosha madulo yutar lifros aleim kilos b'shabes kedin kibui diarva shekvar chayim ha'oel. Excellent question. V'tirates, and he answers, "Shitochein shekilos chasanim ol keva v'lachein osu lefrosa." So that we're only going to allow it in the case of that boat with the kipe the arva, because that's not considered keva. Okay, so we're up to Amar Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi. So let me just give an introduction to the next small sugya before we get to the mission of Ritia and the distinction between Medina and Migdash. In this next sugya, we're about to talk about wearing hats on Shabbos, and could it be that the hat is so wide that it hangs on his head and creates kind of an oil on his head, and if it has a width of a tefach, then it should be also. And the Gemara is going to quote a stira between a member of Rav Shisha and a Braisa on this very point about these wide kinds of hats. There might be an additional issue with the hat, that it might be blown away by the wind if it's not fastened onto his head very tightly, and he may be tempted to inadvertently carry it 4 amos in Rishus HaRab. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. Omar Rav Shisha.